All right. Here we are. Fritz Bergeron, bloodandfaith.com. And we are going to continue with our little series on Christian nations. And as I've mentioned before, the Protestant church, the evangelical church, the charismatic church, all the churches are very concerned about the individual spiritual experience of people. Individual salvation, an individual baptism, an individual infilling of the Holy Spirit, an individual experience with God or eternal life, and all that is good and righteous and appropriate. But what is generally forgotten or ignored or denied, is that God has always been very much interested in the body, the multitude of persons, the nation, the group. When God called Abraham, he called Abraham to be the father of many nations, and not many individuals, many nations. He says, you're going to be the father of many nations. God's interested in the nations. You're not just interested in, oh, you know, little Johnny got saved, Susie got baptized, yay, golf clap. And I don't mean to deprecate that. But what I'm saying is he wants nations to worship Jesus Christ. Entire nations and different nations as distinct nations. Not as a whole bunch of unrelated people, but as nations. And we see that in the story, the gospel story that really begins with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the 12 tribes. He created a nation out of the 12 tribes with a distinct historical experience, a distinct language, and he took them out of their bondage and gave them a distinct geographical area with distinct borders. And then he took that nation of Israel, and there was borders for the distinct tribes. You call it the 11 tribes and the two half-tribes. Call it 13 tribes, or it's really 11 and plus the two half-tribes. They all had distinct geographic borders. And this nation was to be an example to every other nation. Come, let us go up to the house of the Lord, to the mountain of the God of it. I don't have that. I say it might be Isaiah chapter 2. So that he may teach us his ways. And this nation was supposed to be an example to the other nations. And if you haven't noticed it, the salvation of your kids and your grandkids and your great-grandkids depends to a great extent on the culture they're raised in. And if you want salvation for your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren and your biological line down through the generations, and you should, you will be very concerned about the society that they're raised in. Thus, Christian nations. Who's it? Hillary Clinton says it takes a village to raise a child. I can't disagree with that. And that doesn't mean the left-wing liberal government raises your child, but it takes your tribe to produce the full measure of Christian maturity in Christian families. So the goal indeed is Christian nations. They have distinct borders, distinct boundaries, they share a language. They share a bloodline. The nations in the Bible all shared a common bloodline. God was very disturbed and distraught when they tried to mix the nations in the bloodlines. God Almighty did not like that. He personally showed up. He personally intervened. He went down to Babel and he says, listen, that's not what I told you to do. I told you to spread out. And they all said, oh, no, we got something else in mind. We're going to stay together. No nations, no borders. That's nothing new about that. That whole no nations, no borders, that's as old as the Tower of Babel. God hated the Tower of Babel. He went in there and he divided it. And he forced the nations apart. He forced them apart, drove them to the uttermost parts of the earth so that it would be distinct nations, to see which nation and bloodline would serve Jesus Christ. Now, the third topic that I really wanted to hit tonight is law. God has a law in mind for the nations. It's called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments did not go away. The Ten Commandments have never gone away. Jesus Christ makes that very clear in the Gospels. Go read Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7 for that matter. Do not think I came to do with the law. Do not think that. Don't you dare think that. Anybody that deprecates the law, teaches that the law is less, they will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But he who teaches the law will be called the great in the kingdom of heaven. And I've always taught the law. I've taught the law for years. 30, 40 years ago, I wrote a Bible study called The Covenant for the Nations. It's still floating around there on the internet. I'll try to throw a link in. It's the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are God's covenant for the nations. It was his covenant for the nation of Israel. There's no reason other nations can't take that up. And if you as a society, as a nation, a biblical nation, not an empire, not a multicultural, multi-ethnic, but as a nation, you live by the Ten Commandments, you will be blessed in time and in history. Obeying the Ten Commandments is not a means to your personal salvation and eternal life, okay? Never said it was. Even under Moses, that wasn't it either. You still needed the blood sacrifice under the time of Moses. But it is the moral code, it is the legal code for a nation, for a Christian nation. It does not go away. If you want to know the benefits of the Ten Commandments, read Deuteronomy chapter 28. The blessings and the curse. If you live by these Ten Commandments as a society, it's not for the individual, but as a society, as a nation, as a culture, in time and in history, you'll be blessed. God will bless you. And if you disobey them, the curse will come upon you. We've seen the curse coming upon the nations of Europe and the United States because they've utterly forsaken the Ten Commandments. What's the Ten Commandments? Well, thou shalt not murder is one. Thou shalt not commit adultery is another one. Thou shalt not covet. What is covetous? I want to have what you have. And we have social policies for many, many nations that are based on violating the, I think it's the 10th commandment. Thou shalt not covet. And so you have more than me. I want it. And so I'm going to have laws to address that. Keeping the Sabbath is there. And the most important commandment is the first commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with others, and you shall have no other gods before him. Now, who is that God? It's Jesus Christ. When Moses was on the mountain and he met with God, and God gave him the Ten Commandments, who gave him those Ten Commandments? It was not God the Father. It was not God the Father. It was God the Son. Jesus Christ was very clear. No man has seen the Father. No man has seen the Father. Yet you read over here in Exodus, I think it's, I want to say it's 33. It said, the Lord used to speak with Moses face to face like a man speaking with a friend. Well, for some reason, here it is. Exodus 33. Verse 11, thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. All right, there you go. Moses spoke with Jesus Christ face to face, just as a man speaks with a friend. Didn't know him as Jesus Christ, knew him as the Lord God. But Jesus Christ was very clear, no man has seen the Father. No man has seen the Father, except the only begotten of the Father, except Jesus Christ. So who did Moses talk to? He talked to Jesus Christ pre-incarnation. So when God Almighty gives Moses the Ten Commandments, it says, thou shalt have no other God. The first commandment points to Jesus Christ. That's my point. The first commandment points to Jesus Christ. And if you read Deuteronomy 28, you have the blessing and the curse. Okay, this is the foundational law for Christian nations. You don't get to just, come up with something new. It's the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments are not burdensome. You wonder what burdensome is? It's living in America in 2023 where you lose your job because somebody calls you racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, or anti-Semitic. That's burdensome. That's horrible. And they make laws that are contrary to the Ten Commandments. You think the Ten Commandments is bad? Look what we live under now. People are terrified to speak their peace. They're terrified to say what's in the Holy Scriptures because they're going to lose their job, lose their bank account, lose their money. I'll put some links in the notes here. I've had a lot to say about the Ten Commandments over the years. But those need to be the cornerstone, the foundation for civil law, for criminal law in the United States. Now, the Bible, in any Christian nation, the Bible also gives you a great deal in depth of case law. In other words, what happens if somebody's on your roof and they're walking around, you're having a party on your roof, and you don't have a parapet or a fence around your roof and they fall off? Are you responsible? The Bible says yes. You might not have known that. But if you're having a get-together at your house and you're all up on the roof and you didn't bother to put a fence around it, you're responsible. The Bible talks about these things. It talks about what happens if somebody steals a cow. You steal somebody's cow, what's the punishment? It's not the death penalty, but you might have to pay back 4 or 5 times as much as you stole. If you find somebody's property out there, what's your responsibility towards somebody's lost donkey or goat? Can you just walk away and leave it, or are you supposed to take care of it? The Bible says you're supposed to take care of it. What are the appropriate punishments for example, murder? Well, there's a reason it says there's an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. There needs to be a corresponding punishment. Long-term incarceration is not in the Holy Scriptures. It's not in there. The example of punishment in the Holy Scriptures is not long-term incarceration in a prison for 25 years. There's capital punishment. There is corporal punishment. There is basically slavery. You're going to work until you pay off what you owe. And there's short-term incarceration. But there's no such thing as you're going to lock somebody up for the rest of their lives. That's not in the Holy Scriptures. Torture is not in the Holy Scriptures either, by the way. And it's all in there, and we ignore it at our peril. So Christian Nation, we'll dig into that, and there's a lot of men that have written stuff about that. Rufus Rushdoony is one of my favorites, one of my go-tos. There's another book, Greg Bahnsen, Bahnsen, Theonomy and Christian Ethics, Theonomy and Christian Ethics, fabulous, fabulous book, brilliant book. I have an original copy of that. I think it's a collector's piece now. But a Christian nation will be based upon the Ten Commandments. And the first commandment points to Jesus Christ. You will, as a society, honor the Sabbath. Shut down everything. Shut down the movie theaters. Shut down the bars. Shut down the restaurants. Shut down all the food stores. It all gets shut down on the Sabbath. I'm not a Saturday Sabbath guy. Someday I might be, but I don't think so. I honor a Sunday Sabbath because that's when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That's where we have our rest. Different issue. But as a society, you shut down on Sundays, man. You shut it down. I appreciate the Seventh-day Adventists. They take it seriously. They do a Saturday Sabbath. They've got a good argument for that. But they won't go to work. I used to commercial fish in Alaska in the Seventh-day Adventists. They wouldn't go fishing on the Sabbath. They said, we don't care how much money we lose. We're going to honor the Sabbath. God will bless them for that. You don't commit adultery. Adultery is turned into something that's pretty common, and we'll leave it at that. But it should not be. It should not be in a Christian nation, in a Christian society. The implications are dire for the family, dire for the children. And we could spend a lot more time on that, but I just wanted to bring that up. That's really the third component of what I wanted to talk about Christian nations. And we'll keep talking about it. We'll talk more about it. But for now, that's it. Fritz Berggren, bloodandfaith.com.